muchas gracias a todos. Desde hace 2 horas teníamos resultados que marcaban una clara tendencia, incluso tuvimos la tentación de salir hace 2 horas a dar nuestros resultados.
Voters in El Salvador elected a new president on Sunday. 37-year-old Nayib Bukele, the former mayor of the country's capital city, San Salvador, won the election in a landslide. Heather Geese is here. She's a freelance reporter in San Salvador. She's been covering the recent elections for Al Jazeera. Hi there, Heather.
Hi, Matt.
Let's start with a quick overview on Nayib Bukele. Who is he and what's his relationship with the leading political party, FMLN?
Nayib Bukele is most well known as the former mayor of San Salvador, the capital city. Before that, he was a mayor of a suburb outside the capital. He was mayor in the capital city from 2015 to 2018. And for both those terms as mayor, he was part of the governing left-wing party, the FMLN. FMLN ejected him from the party in 2017, and that was because he was breaking ranks within the party. We can kind of see this trajectory of him building himself up as his own persona, his own brand, basically since he became a mayor in his first term. And so that, combined with some instances of defamation against party stalwarts, particularly one incident that was interpreted as a sexist, kind of misogynist incident. He threw an apple at a woman lawmaker and called her a witch. After that, he was ejected from the FMLN. And to run for president, he didn't have time to kind of consolidate his own party. So he went on to run with this right-wing party called GANA, which is a breakoff from the other main dominant traditional party, ARENA. So we're kind of seeing him shift pretty quickly from the left-wing party to a right-wing party.
And he seems to have galvanized younger voters by engaging them on social media. Was that evident in the voter turnout on Sunday?
So voter turnout on Sunday was down. It's been declining since 2004, and this time was no exception. Voter turnout was about 45%, and that's compared to 55% in the last presidential election in 2014. So I think the kind of popular disenchantment and frustration with the political class is really evident, not only in voting for this candidate that's not representing two of the dominant parties, but also the fact that people just aren't bothering to go to the polls. Mm-hmm. That said, he has really spoken to younger voters in particular. His kind of anti-establishment message, I think, really resonates with them. Also, he is cool. He wears jeans and a leather jacket and a backwards hat. And as you said, he's really used social media to his benefit. He launched his platform in a Facebook Live video, which actually he was criticized for because it was pre-recorded. but he's speaking to a different generation. And I think that, you know, we also have to remember that this is a generation of voters that has come of age after the signing of the peace accords that ended the Civil War in 1992. And the two parties that have controlled the executive for the last 30 years, 20 years with the right-wing ARENA party and 10 years with the FMLN, both those parties have their roots in the Civil War in very clear ideological camps. And so someone who is kind of bucking with that tradition is well received among a younger audience that doesn't have those memories of the war. And especially in a country where there hasn't been a process of constructing a historical memory, bringing those Civil War era crimes to justice, to be able to have that collective memory.
Heather, let's take a step back from the recent presidential elections for a moment. According to the International Displacement Monitoring Center, the rate of people fleeing their homes in El Salvador is the second highest in the world. Why are people leaving their homes at such alarming rates?
The forced displacement crisis is really a huge issue, and we think a lot about people leaving the country, but a lot of people often move 4 or 5 times within the country before they make that decision to leave. So it's kind of like an invisible internal force displacement crisis that's happening behind all that. A lot of this is really attributed to the gangs in the country, and the internal force displacement crisis hasn't adequately been recognized by the government. So we're also talking about a lack of attention for victims that allows this to just kind of perpetuate. When we're talking about people leaving the country, there's also a lot of folks that are going because of economic reasons. But these two issues are also really closely linked, especially when we think about extortion being part of the scenario as well, which affects a majority of small businesses.
Sure. And then it becomes an international issue because migrants from El Salvador are streaming north to the United States, which we know is drawing the ire of President Trump, who has threatened to cut aid to the country. What does the new president's election mean possibly for the U.S. relationship with El Salvador?
So that relationship has been becoming more tense. As you mentioned, Trump has threatened to cut off aid to El Salvador and its neighbors for failing to stem migration. In some ways, we might expect Bukele's government to be a bit more friendly with the United States on some issues. For example, the current Salvadoran government has been supportive of Venezuela, whereas Bukele has spoken out against Maduro. Also on an economic front, the current government, even if it hasn't played out in practice, but kind of has more of a socialist kind of economic discourse, whereas Bukele is quite business friendly. He comes from a wealthy business family himself.
El Salvador makes up a third of the Northern Triangle, and that also includes Guatemala and Honduras. The presence of Guatemala and Honduras are very politically right-wing, and they've been involved in some high-profile corruption scandals. Do we have an idea of how Bukele's relationship with the Guatemalan and Honduran presidents, how that's going to shake out?
His popularity looks a little bit similar in some ways, I think, to Guatemalan President Jimmy Morales. Jimmy Morales arrived on the scene when he was campaigning, saying, you know, not corrupt, not a thief, I'm not going to rob from you. And his campaign slogans didn't age very well once he came under investigation for some corruption. And Bukele, again, has also campaigned as, you know, an alternative to the two dominant political parties. But at the same time, he doesn't have a completely clean track record either. He's accused and investigated for some irregular contracting while he was mayor. He's also investigation for tax evasion. So we'll see how his anti-corruption mission goes forward.
And before I leave you, I want to go back through history a little bit to understand just how El Salvador got to this point. Obviously, El Salvador went through a brutal civil war in which the U.S. was actively involved. That ended in 1992. Can you describe if there are any political remnants of that war that continue to be felt today? If we look at his presidency through the prism of that war, how should we view that?
Yeah, so when he claimed victory, he said El Salvador has turned a page on this post-war era, kind of saying it's like it's a new political cycle. One thing for El Salvador, you know, people talk about the peace accords, but El Salvador has never really achieved peace. The recommendations of the peace accords weren't really implemented. Nobody has been held accountable for the abuses that took place during the war. 75,000 people were killed, mostly at the hands of the military and allied death squads, and nobody has been brought to justice because shortly after the signing of the peace accords, an amnesty law was implemented that didn't allow for any prosecution. And so I think that a country that has just been so devastated by violence, both during the civil war and then afterwards, once the gang problem really kicked up, it's hard to imagine peace without justice.
Heather Geese is a freelance reporter in San Salvador, El Salvador. Thank you so much for joining us on The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.